You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
The cream of the crop!
Hello, and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil, and I have to throw it to Ken because he's in the middle of a traffic jam, and he only has a few moments before he has a special delivery to make. Ken, are you there? Are you okay?
Yeah, that's right. I'm in my car right now. I'm actually just waiting for a food order to be ready for it to be delivered to a patron, which is my pandemic job. So just waiting here with my face mask on, looking like Scorpion. Or actually, it's gray, so more like smoke. But yep, that's where I'm at right now, and still got to keep podcasts rolling. So, you know,
doing
what I can. Yeah.
It's hands-free, and we can't wait for you to get over here back to the studio.
I'm not quite driving yet. I'm just waiting in my car. So
that's what I do every Friday night, but I just call it PI work just to make sure no one thinks I'm weird.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm doing, PI work.
Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. And I believe Jeff is here. He kind of burst onto the recording with his nice pipes, and his voice came through loud and clear. How are you, Jeff?
Yeah, so it turns out that laying on top of your microphone makes for bad audio. So
it only took you 6 episodes to figure that out.
Surprised it was that quick.
Fair enough.
We have a really special guest who's hosting today that we're excited to introduce, and she has an awesome company as well that she's going to talk about that she told us before we started recording, but that is Amber Kelly. How's it going, Amber?
Oh, it's grand. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. I do want to say, we were kind of joking around about it before, but you're in your childhood bedroom, right?
I am indeed. I took a long motorcycle ride down to Texas, which is a hot spot apparently, but I don't think that my parents' home equates that, except for the amazingly hot childhood photographs that I'm surrounded by. Especially the Sears and Roebuck photograph that has the floating head in the darkness behind me. It's like the mirror of myself, although the floating head in the shadow looks much happier than my main photograph. I'm terrified, but excited all at the same time.
So were we.
Sounds like prom night for me.
I never got to go to prom. Can I cry about that for a minute?
We have a Triviality prom right now.
Yeah.
Really? Thank you.
Yeah.
Your Triviality prom queen.
Man, that was easier than I anticipated.
It only took 4 votes, and all of us said yes immediately. So
we're pretty laid back here at Triviality.
I may also be the only female, but you know what? I accept.
It's 2020. Anyone could be prom queen.
That's right.
True.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been up to?
I have been also unemployed and spending a lot of that time learning coding. So I spent the first 10 days on a boat in a marina in Puerto Rico going nowhere, which was interesting. And, you know, your general reevaluating what you've been doing with your life and whether it's necessary. And in a lot of ways, I asked the question, who needs trivia? And I came up with 2 answers. And that is, you know, hosts and venues, and that is what creates the community at large. I also said, is my job necessary? And I kept proving that that answer was no. I was completely unnecessary in taking money from people who were doing the actual work. And so thus I created The No, which is an online marketplace for trivia hosts to promote themselves, set their own rates, and we drive people to them to hire them, and we provide the content for them to be able to host that so they don't have to spend their time writing the questions, but doing what they do best. So
that's awesome. We have a lot of listeners who are trivia writers or trivia hosts or looking for things like that. So they should all reach out to you. And where can they reach out to you at?
Amber@thenotrivia.com.
And that's no K-N-O-W, right?
Correct.
All right. Just in case, because it could be Dr. No Trivia. We don't know.
That's true.
Well, thank you for joining us today. You're going to be hosting a game. I believe it's going to be Jeff and Ken on a team and me and Matt on a team. So I'll start with us. What the listeners can't see is a beautifully drawn photograph of a wolf over your left shoulder. And Matt is in shadow currently. So we're going to be the Shadow Wolves.
That's a super cool name, Neil. Over your left shoulder is the very hunky Patrick Swayze. Let's see. I'm also in a dimly lit room, so let's go with Patrick Swayze's dusky eyes.
All right. Okay. Patrick Swayze's dusky eyes. Okay, well, let's throw it to the rules guy and see how he sounds today.
Triviality Podcast is two rounds of 20 questions worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there's a special swing round by this week's host. In the final round, players wager points they've earned for a chance to become the cream of the crop.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
A little like Gilbert Gottfried, I think, Matt. Just a little.
Yeah, we paid good money for that. We're going to keep using it.
Yeah, sorry, Gilbert.
Neil, I just got this food order to be delivered. It's going to your address.
Is it really?
No, it's not really.
Oh, I was kind of excited for a second. Because I didn't
eat it. Pop in like Kramer.
He inconvenienced me this greatly, knowing that I had to do this recording.
I kind of have a taste for tempura now, but yeah, I should have done that. I'll do it next time. Amber, feel free to take the keys and we're ready to play. So however you want to get it started, we're excited.
Fantastic. I believe in you.
We believe in you too.
Yeah, especially in your Patrick Swayze and wolfing ways. I feel like we should make a blanket or some sort of velvet picture.
I'm totally down. I'm down.
Three Patrick Swayzes howling at the moon.
Please, that's what I need in my life. So the first five questions are going to be titled, or that section is titled, Don't Be Sheeple, because each answer begins with ba or B-A. Mm-hmm. To be specific. So question number one, short-term changes in weather are predicted by what atmospheric pressure measuring device?
I think I've got this, Ken.
Okay, Jeff is locked in. Matt, you texted me some things, but autocorrect fooled us once again.
Yeah, I said the barometer, which is not what I meant to say.
And so we're talking about barometric pressure, right? Because this is one of the reasons I get so many migraines is when the pressure changes, but you're saying it's...
It's a barometer.
Barometer. Okay. I'm good with that.
Ken and I are also going with barometer.
And you would all be correct. That is barometer.
All right. Good start. Well,
all right. Question two. What name for a ski mask comes from a small Crimean city that got annexed by Sevastopol? Is that how you say that?
Either that or Sevastopol.
Sevastopol sounds cooler.
It does.
Yes, Jeff, we're good to lock in.
So this is a funny one.
I thought that was a pastry.
Well, that's the thing. So friends of Ken and I, there's a joke where we call it the pastry, or they've called it the pastry so many times that I always mix them up. And I say one thing when it should be the other, but I believe it is not the baklava, but it's the balaclava is the mask, right, Matt?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I mean, you are willing and able to stick a... baklava on your head. I am all for it, but we're going to go with the balaclava.
Well done. It is the balaclava. Although baklava is one of my mother's favorites, so she may be coming storming through this door of my maturity any second right now. In the meantime, we're going to go on to question three to try to stave her off. Variations in human language is explained in the biblical tale of what city?
I've got a good idea on this, Ken.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's there's a reason why I think that's right.
That's the only reason I know it's correct, I think.
No, get out of here.
we're going to lock in.
So explain how Brad Pitt ties into this.
Yes. Well, I put 100%.
I put Brad Pitt
into everything in my life.
Yeah, right. He's in the movie Babel, and I just remember it, the movie had, you know, to do with the biblical site or the translation site, and that's the only reason I know this, because I, as we've said before, I'm terrible at Bible questions, but if it has to do with the movie, then that's at least where my angle is.
Better at Babel questions than Bible questions.
There you go. Yeah, I'm a Babel expert.
That's Gael Garcia Bernal, Erasure Neil, and you know it.
He's good in there too.
But we are going to lock in with Babel as well.
Great, because that would be correct.
Ken just hasn't said anything in a while, so he wanted to join in.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Question number four. What small island nation lies between Saudi Arabia and Qatar?
Oh, man.
Or as some people would say, Qatar, but I've been there, and I say Qatar.
We are locked in.
So this would not be the home of Rihanna.
Is that Barbados, right?
Yeah, which I believe is.
And I've been there, and I call it Barbados.
Uh-huh, obviously.
So B-A.
You're a monster.
B-A, I'm not going to be much help on this one either.
Bangladesh, right? Maybe?
I mean, that starts with a B-A, that's good with me.
Yeah, sure, Bangladesh, which I think is in Asia, but whatever.
Well, Matt, to be that guy, they're both in Asia, but I've got to tell you that it is a small island nation that basically is the bridge between Qatar and Saudi Arabia, and the country in question is Bahrain.
Oh, yeah.
That is correct. It is Bahrain, which I have not been to, but I have been to Qatar.
I didn't use my Bahrain there.
Do not cut that.
Matt, you don't have enough children to make jokes like this.
That I know of.
It's because I'm in my parents' house. Gets...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Triviality dad joke edition.
All right, so this is the final question that follows into this category of beginning with Ba or B-A. In Irish folklore, death is foreshadowed by the wailing of what type of fairy woman?
Locked in.
Okay, we are locked in.
So Jeff, you thinking it's Banshee?
That would make sense to me with the spelling.
Yeah, I never really considered it Irish sounding, but I suppose it kind of does now that I think about it. So we'll go ahead with Banshee.
We had the same thing. When you think of a creature or a being that wails, then you think of a Banshee. So that's what we locked in with.
Got it. The screaming Banshee.
All right.
You're killing it. Yeah.
I know. We're moving right along. So after five questions, Patrick Swayze's dusky eyes have 50. They're perfect. And Shadow Wolves have 40 right behind.
If it weren't for Bahrain.
Well, geography is always going to get us, so I'm not mad about it.
How do you feel about the great white unlit way of Broadway musicals?
I love it. So that's just me.
Okay. I saw my first one yesterday.
Was it Hamilton?
Of course it was Hamilton.
I was going to say you didn't see it on Broadway.
No.
Hamilton is real good.
Mm-hmm. I was a fan.
Actually, well, Matt didn't see
the triviality. Watch it collectively all on the same day, just apart.
No, I've seen Hamilton in Chicago, not like the original Broadway cast. So I'm saving the original Broadway cast to watch on Disney Plus. I watched the musical George Hamilton about famed actor and tan man George Hamilton.
Oh,
how did it get there?
What a wonderful time to be alive right now, Neil.
George Hamilton, it was good. Instead of not giving up his one shot, he had many shots of Botox to the face, so it was good.
Yeah. All right, so this is going to be, these next five questions are Broadway musicals as described by someone who has not seen them.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to give you the creator of the musical and then the description, and you are going to tell me what musical I'm talking about. So for question number, I guess we're on six at this point of round one, is the creator is Irving Berlin. In a spinoff of an Oscar-winning film, Diane Keaton deflects Woody Allen's advances with a high-powered rifle.
Jeff, we can lock in.
Interesting, Matt. Do you have any idea? Because I have a few ideas, but I was like thrown for a loop there. Oh, you said Annie. It's definitely not Annie. That's not Irving Berlin.
Because I thought that they were in Annie Hall or something together. That's the only reason I was putting that together.
Oh, no, they definitely were in Annie Hall. Yeah. So actually, I think I'm just getting confused. So you said the Diane Keaton, Woody Allen thing, is that that's a spinoff film of the musical?
Spinoff of the Oscar-winning film.
Oh, would Irving Berlin have done? Is it? I mean, he did Bullets Over Broadway. That was a Woody Allen film that Diane Wiest was in. I don't know if Diane Keaton was in it, but let's just go with that because I'm not going to come up with anything better.
Okay, I think Neil was just being a little too literal on that one, and I think the answer is Annie, Get Your Gun.
Yes, that is correct. It is Annie, Get Your Gun.
Nice.
Yes.
Good pull, Ken.
If you don't get these,
the
Neil,
only reason
I'm
I
useless.
Know anything about that. Is Arrested Development. That's the song Tobias tries to do when he's auditioning for a musical. And he stutters through it, and it was actually a blooper, but they left it because it was funnier.
Sorry, Matt.
That's okay. You can redeem yourself with the next one.
All right, this is your moment. It's Stephen Schwartz is the creator. Frodo, Sam, and Merry take a moment to acknowledge their forgettable hobbit pal.
Frodo, Sam, and Merry. I'm trying to forget their hobbit pal.
Neil's actually really bad at these word puzzle type games where it's an allusion to something else.
He thinks too hard.
Yeah.
But we're locked in.
Okay, well, the Sam, Mary thing, I mean, that's Lord of the Rings, but I don't know of him doing a Lord of the Rings musical.
Well, I don't think it's specifically that. I think that the thing is who's
Neil
the character.
Neil has learned no lessons from the last question.
So you think of the director and then think of who else is in that Lord of the Rings movie who would be leaving or doing something.
Just going to say, because Stephen Schwartz, his most famous one before he did Wicked was Godspell and Pippin, which, oh, that's a character in Lord of the Rings. There it is. Okay. So Pippin.
Same for us. We're going with Pippin.
Fantastic. See, you got there. He did learn from last time.
I don't know
I just need to explain it in layman's terms every time, and then we'll get there. This is why we're a team.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I know all the composers you're saying. The word clues are like really stumbling me for some reason.
I'll unpack them for you.
Here's the next one. It's Frank Lesser is the creator. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're on board so far. Yeah. Great. Love blossoms when a 17th century British plotter and a bleach blonde chef swap vintage Barbies by moonlight.
Okay, so Matt, I'm just going to have to tell you musicals that they've done, and then you tell me if this is right.
Are they locked in?
We're locked in over here.
Oh, dang.
Oh, I guess
with
first.
The quick draw. Oh, Matt got it. Jeff, any ideas on this one? Because this one I'm actually at a loss.
I like wordplay.
British plotter Guy Fawkes.
We have to bleep that.
Plotter? I don't understand this. Babes in Toyland? She mentioned swapping Barbies. You want to go with that?
Sure. Yeah, I'm at a loss on this one.
Yeah. Babes in Toyland.
Yeah, you're thinking the toys were correct, but you're also thinking another name for that would be dolls, and I'm thinking this is guys and dolls.
Oh.
It's not fairies and toys. Mm. It is, in fact, guys and dolls.
Oh, I can only
Guy
think
Fieri.
Of the...
Guy Fieri.
I can only think of the Simpsons episode where Mark Hamill plays Nathan Detroit in Guys and Dolls.
All right, fine. You're getting the next one then. This is Stephen Sondheim. A mad scientist shrinks herself to microscopic size to infiltrate the world's most famous golfer.
I think we're good here, Jeff.
Most famous golfer.
So don't get hung up on that. Start naming
Sondheim?
Musicals, and I'll figure out if they fit.
All right, there's going to be a lot of them.
Luckily, Stephen Sondheim has not done very many musicals.
Yeah, right.
That's okay. I'll figure it out.
All right, so you have Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods. Oh, duh. Okay.
Into the Woods.
There we go.
There it is.
Second one.
Only took two.
Took them two. Yeah, we're locked in with Into the Woods.
Correct. You guys are killing this.
You're killing me, Amber, because every time I figure it out, it's like, oh, duh. It was like right on the tip of my head, and I should have just thought, and it would have been fine.
Right on the tip of your head.
There you go.
As the old saying goes.
Here's the last
one. Oh, I'm on the back of my seat.
Yeah. I really appreciate Amber as a guest. She's very loose. Totally willing to just jump in and make fun of Neil. She's just having a ball right now.
She's unlocked the mystery of triviality.
She's triviality prom queen. She can say whatever she wants. It's fine.
Bottom of the morning to you. Chris DiRenzo is the creator. Noted thespian Dwayne Johnson travels through time, righting wrongs in every historical epoch.
All right, I think we're good. Jeff?
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. You're correct.
Yeah.
Way to go, Matt.
All right. I think we're thinking about Tom Cruise being in a musical he has no business being in, and we're going to go with Rock of Ages.
We were right there too, Matt. Matt texted me Rock of Ages.
Yeah. There was talk of doing a musical of Top Gun, which I don't think has happened. So yeah, Rock of Ages is exactly correct.
After round one, it looks like Shadow Wolves have 80 points and Patrick Swayze Dusky Eyes have 90. Before we throw it to Amber for the swing round, just wanted to say come join Amber over at The Crop and interact with other listeners, talk about episodes, hear news about the show, and overall just have fun. And if you don't really go on Facebook anymore, you can join us over at Twitter and Instagram at Triviality Pod. So come see what hijinks Matt is getting into and come say hi.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she...
Or call the police.
She should have, exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
So, Amber, what do you have in store for us today for the swing round?
So, it's a little bit different. It is a version of a face-off. There is one question with 8 possible answers. And we are going to go one person from your team to the one person from the other team, back and forth. If that person from your team gets it wrong, that person is out and it's on to the other person only until there are no more people left. Or no more answers, as the case may be. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And as the leaders right now, should we cede first position to the Shadow Wolves?
That's up to you if you'd like. I mean, that's fine with us, I suppose.
Yeah, go ahead. You can go ahead and take the first guess. And Amber, take it away.
All right, here's the question. Because it's census year. I don't know how you feel about that, if you've replied to your census requests.
I did. I thought that was the key to my stimulus check.
You were incorrect. You lose a point. You're out of...
I am out. All right.
You haven't even asked a question yet. So this is based on the last census. It is called Keeping Up with the Gomezes. Because according to the U.S. Census Bureau, our 30 most common surnames include 9 that predominantly belong to Hispanic people. So you are going to give me 8 of those 9 surnames. Gomez is not one of them, but all but one of them end in Z.
Okay, so I'm first. I'm going to start with Gonzalez.
Gonzalez is correct. It is on the list.
Does that mean I go next now?
No, it'll
be one of us.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm going to say Rodriguez.
Rodriguez is on the list.
I will say Martinez.
Martinez is also on the list.
I'm going to say Hernandez.
Hernandez is on the list.
Ooh, I'm going to shoot for the one without a Z and say Garcia.
Garcia is the one without a Z.
You suck, Matt. That was the one on top of my head. Okay, I feel like Gonzalez with an S is probably on there too, but I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to say Perez.
Mm. Perez is there.
Nice.
Done it.
Okay, Matt. So let's see. Rodriguez, Martinez, Gonzalez, Hernandez, Garcia, Perez. For no reason other than I just watched My Spy with David Bautista, I will say Bautista.
Oh, there's only one without a C, Neil.
Out! You are out. There is no Bautista. Off to the next team, and you are no longer allowed to play. Your face is off.
Oh my God, right, my face is off.
So that brings it to me, I believe, and I'm going to go with Marquez.
Marquez is not, so you are also out. One person game remains.
Me and Jeff, mano y mano, with the face off. I'm going.
Does that mean hand in hand in this case?
I don't know. The point is, I'm going Sanchez.
You got it. Sanchez is there.
All right, so it's on me again. I'm hearing Lowrider play in the background, Matt. I'm thinking Lopez.
Lopez is there. You have done it.
Is that all 8?
Well played. That is all 8. There were 9, but woo! I was going for keep it even.
Is Ramirez the 9th one?
Was the 9th one. Do we feel like we should give him
some No.
No, absolutely not. You can't cheat your way into an answer like that, Matthew.
So is that 10 points each or
points
each? All right, 10 points each. So both teams get 40 points.
Yeah, let's keep the scores high.
All right, so that means with 40 points each, Team Patrick Swayze, Dusky Eyes have 130, and Team Shadow Wolves have 120.
Let's go on to round 2.
Here we go. Round 2. Again, we have 2 halves of round 2. So the first 5 questions are themed under a theme called Mad Hops. It is a round on anger, beer, and big, big jumps. That's right. Anger, beer, and big, big jumps. So the first question of round 2, as of 2010, what beer-loving country produced the most hops, exceeding its nearest competitor by more than 4,000 tons?
Oh, we're locked in, by the way. You can talk out loud if you want.
All right. Since you're locked in, we're considering beer-loving countries. So when I think about beer consumption, I think Czech Republic is number 1 per capita, I believe.
Yeah, for consumption.
Mm-hmm. Or not Czech Republic anymore, but Czechia.
Czechia, yeah.
Is that what you wanted to go with, Jeff?
No, I want to go with a neighbor. So I think the United States is probably up there just because we produce a lot of agricultural products. Yeah. But I think it's Germany, and I'm guessing it's Germany probably because they're like 4 or 5 times the size of Czechia.
Yeah. that makes sense to me. That would be also one of my high guesses. So let's go ahead with Germany.
Yeah, when I think beer, I think Oktoberfest. You think Germany? We locked in with Germany.
You are both correct. It is Germany. Nice. Well done. Has anyone ever been to Munich for that?
I've been to Munich, but not for that.
Yeah, none of these guys drink.
Yeah, I don't drink, yeah.
I would not want to go for that. I've been all over Germany.
I did love Munich, however. It was a great time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great film.
I knew it.
I was going to say, Spielberg knows how to direct a film.
Just waiting on it.
Yeah, Spielberg's film about Oktoberfest in Munich.
Okay. All right, here's your second question of round two. Nightmare Moon was Princess Luna's angry alter ego in the first two episodes of what cartoon reboot?
Ken, I'm good with this.
How's your cartoon knowledge, Matt, with Princess Luna?
It doesn't sound familiar. You said Sailor Moon. That would make sense. But they were all Sailor Scouts. And I don't know if there was princesses involved.
Well, I just like the Luna, like the Lunar and then Moon. But I don't even know if that's been rebooted. So I couldn't tell you if that was correct.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea. I was thinking Powderpuff Girls because they did get rebooted.
Oh, well, then that kind of makes sense then.
I don't know how it fits in the category, but we're going to say Powderpuff Girls.
All right, Matt. I think it's Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, that's more accurate.
But I also think that answer is wrong because if the two of you channel your favorite wrestler, one of your favorite wrestlers, and you're thinking that maybe Ken and I are jabronis, you might know that this is My Little Pony.
Oh.
It is My Little Pony. Mm. Friendship is magic.
Yeah, I'm okay getting it wrong.
All right, carrying on. Evelyn McHale was the subject of the iconic 1947 photo, Most Beautiful Suicide, after leaping to her death from what New York building?
I think Matt and I are good here. I think we'll lock in.
All right, so I think I've seen this photograph before, possibly when internet search went awry when searching suicide girls. But no, I'm just kidding. But I have seen.
I think your search went awry before that.
I think it was the Empire State Building. Man, Matt really loved that joke.
I did.
That one hit really close to home.
Really, really took me back to 2002.
Yeah, so we're saying Empire State Building.
We also said Empire State Building.
That is correct. It is the Empire State Building. I want you to feel like you're really scoring high at something in life right now.
Yeah, it's working. I feel really good about myself.
I need it so bad. Yeah. I need a win.
Fantastic. I'm here for you. Here we go. Here is number four. The song The Angry Inch from the musical Hedwig and the Angry Inch is about what kind of botched operation?
Do you know this, Neil?
Yeah, I know it.
Then I won't think.
we're locked in.
I believe Hedwig and the Angry Inch is a musical, and I haven't seen it, but I think it is about like the cross-dressing and trans community in one way or another. But again, I have no knowledge about this musical, so maybe we should just say gender reassignment surgery. Jeff, good?
Yeah, no, that sounds good.
All right, that's purely a guess.
Yeah, so Hedwig and the Angry Inch was a John Cameron Mitchell movie, kind of famously on stage, played by Neil Patrick Harris. And it was a character named Hansel, who then became Hedwig. But the Angry Inch was due to a sex change operation, a botched sex change operation.
Correct. Also gender reassignment. So the final question in this theme is question number five. Affected by the hops used during brewing, the IBU scale rates what aspect of beer?
This is all you, Matt.
Okay, we can lock in.
This one's not really in our wheelhouse. I think ABV measures the alcohol level, so it's probably not that. It might be something by unit, but what the I stands for, I don't know. Do we just want to say the alcohol level, Jeff, as a guess?
Yep.
So that's all I can think of. All right. That's it. Alcohol content.
Yeah. One of the ways that they describe taste and flavor of beer is by this B word, the bitterness. So it's the bitterness of the beer.
You are correct. It is bitterness. The International Bitterness Units. You did have units correct. So it's not completely out of your wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens when we lose games. We're on the bitterness scale.
Small victory.
One question you're not confident on. You get all bitter.
Yeah.
About it.
If they lose, there'll be very high International Bitterness Units on that side.
Now, if that 100%. Was if it was IBS, Jeff and I both would have gotten it right away. So after five in the second round, we both picked up 40 points. So 160 for Shadow Wolves and 170 for Dusky Eyes.
So going into the bottom half of the second round, this theme is Barstool Science Fair. So this will really throw you for a loop. This is a round on cool science stuff you could do if you were at a bar, which you can't be really anymore. All right, here you go. If you put a half twist in a straw wrapper and connect its ends, you'll make a freaky one-sided figure named for what German guy?
Yeah, we're locked in.
What?
Yeah.
Jeff must really know stuff about straws. That's so we're looking for a German guy, Matt.
Topology is one of my favorite subjects.
Amazing.
Okay, so we're looking for a German guy that the wrapper and the half twist and the wrapper look like.
It's like you take the straw wrapper,
uh-huh,
and then you twirl it, and then I think it looks like it's like dancing or something. I forget how this works, but so, I don't know.
Well, if it looks like it's dancing, is there a famous German dancer?
No, we're not going to get there.
I don't know.
Think of some famous Germans.
Okay.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Right. German
That's
Shepherd.
An ode to being in Texas, isn't it?
Yeah. Classic Texan.
I don't know why. The first thing that came in my head, he's not even German, was Bjorn Borg.
I was going to say David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, there you go. It could be David Hasselhoff. You have to put like a little bit of...
He's a local boy.
He is, yeah. He went to high school not too far from here.
Who's a German like scientist or...
I literally am thinking of people that would never be the answer, like the guy from Captain America, like Dr. Zola. It's not even that's all that's coming to my head. German that's twirly.
We're not gonna get there.
I have no idea.
Well, we're locked in with David Hasselhoff.
There is an episode of Futurama where they do a drag race on this type of one dimensional surface.
That's amazing.
It's a Mobius strip.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Turns out I did know it. I just didn't realize she was referring to a Mobius strip.
Yeah. So that's a one-dimensional surface rendered in three dimensions. A two-dimensional version of that in four dimensions is known as a Klein bottle.
Oh, additional knowledge. No points.
Is that what you ask when you get your facial hair sculpted for, Jeff?
Yes, I'd like it shaped like a Klein bottle, but my barber doesn't deal in fourth dimensions, so I'm kind of screwed.
Well, Mobius was correct, so good on you.
Jeff, you got to find yourself an interdimensional barber.
Or just David Hasselhoff maybe could pull that off for you.
Nah, the only thing he knows how to pull off is his shirt.
He's good at it.
He can't even drive his own car. It has to do it for him. All right. Are you ready for the next one?
I think so.
Please. You can stir up a crude invisible ink by mixing water with what ingredient in your Tom Collins or whiskey sour?
I think I know this, Ken.
Yeah. So Tom Collins is basically a gin, sugar, carbonated water. And then the thing that makes those sour part of the whiskey, lemon juice. So I think it's lemon juice.
Oh, you know why? You know how I know this now that you say this? And Jeff and Ken are gonna love it, because Benjamin Gates uses lemon to uncover the clues in National Treasure.
I figured maybe he used his own urine.
Nicolas Cage tried to use his own urine, but they said it has to be lemon juice.
Don't ask me where I got the invisible ink.
I'm totally good with
acting.
I'm good with you on that, Matt, that it's yeah, lemon.
Lemon juice. We locked in.
Like,
yep,
I don't,
same on our end. Lemon juice.
I don't appreciate how you got there, but you're correct. It is lemon juice, indeed. The next one's true or false.
Ooh, we don't get a lot of these. This is exciting.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Which one do you not get much of, truth or falsehood?
Well, we don't get any of them, so we'll find out.
All right, true or false, if you simultaneously suck a straw in the air and another one that's in a drink, no liquid will reach your mouth.
I feel like I've done this multiple times.
If you suck a straw that's in the air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you got two straws, you got one in the drink, one just hanging out and you're sucking in. What's coming in there?
Okay.
Yeah,
so Matt, you said you've done this, so you know.
Yeah.
All right, Matt's locked in. Jeff, what do you think? Path of least resistance, right? You probably won't get any drink. Are you not a fluid dynamics engineer?
No.
Does it matter how hard you suck?
I was going to say, in my case, I suck a lot, so I'm assuming then.
Ain't that the truth?
I think you don't get any liquid.
That sounds plausible.
Otherwise, why would it be a thing that people try?
Right.
All right, so we're going to say, what was the question? you won't get any liquid? True. It's true that you won't get any liquid.
Yes, if that's the way the question was phrased, I agree. True, you will not get any liquid.
So both going with true?
I think so.
What was the question phrased?
Phrase it again.
That is how it was phrased, that no liquid will reach your mouth.
True. Yeah, true.
Okay. That is correct. Because of the difference in pressure, no liquid will reach your mouth.
I feel like that's something you can get a drunk person to try for like hours. Like, I bet you $1 you can't do it. Like, I'll show you.
And then
eat the old saltine challenge.
I was going with cinnamon.
Oof, no. See, that's crosses a barrier into the, like, you get cinnamon in your lungs sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Saltine challenge is just funny.
Just good, clean fun.
Anyone in the comments of this episode, you know, do the straw trick and take a video. Let us see what happens. Matt calls it the old walrus teeth, the Berwyn walrus teeth.
Neil, you can do it and post it on your TikTok.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Next question. Drop a gummy bear in vodka at the top of this quiz, and you can watch it slowly absorb the booze due to what O word?
Billy Mays here, talking about dropping gummy bears in vodka.
All right, we are going to lock in over on our end.
So, Matt, I don't know much about science.
No.
Which you know.
Saying it so.
So the O word that I'm thinking of is oxidation, but I don't think it has anything to do with gummy bears and vodka. And
if you say absorption wrong, you can make it start with an O.
Like a possum.
Absorption. That's how I pronounce it.
Well, Amber is in Texas. Maybe it is absorption.
I was thinking osmosis, but I know that's not right because I think that's like passive absorbing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have a better answer though, and I like the way it sounds.
Osmosis or oxidation?
How would oxidation affect the gummy absorbing alcohol?
No, you're probably right. Yeah, don't take my answer. Whatever you want to say.
It catches fire. That's how.
Okay. We're going to say osmosis.
Neil did not brush up and watch Osmosis Jones before the episode. We're also going with osmosis.
Yes. Osmosis is correct.
All right. I got it.
Maybe
science.
If you had soaked it in Bacardi 151 and then lit it on fire, and then we could get oxidation, maybe.
Yeah. One time at a party, I was making a flaming Dr. Pepper, and I made it in a red Solo cup, and I was a little drunk, and I accidentally set the side of the cup on fire and was about to drink it, and somebody knocked it out of my hands. So don't
and
do that.
And that is why you're here today.
Yeah.
That's why you're not seeing his face right now.
Always use glass when you're lighting your drink on fire.
One of just many, many heroes who have saved the life of young Matt.
2006 was a rough year.
All right. This is the last one on that theme. Find a black light, order plain tonic water, and watch the water glow thanks to what malaria-curing compound?
Lactin.
Or lactin.
Oh, man. Do you know anything about this,
Matt? It's the stuff in tonic water that makes it taste bad.
Don't help them.
It doesn't help us.
Not iodine.
Or taunt them.
Iodine's like stuff that they add into something, right? The science teacher's always like, we're going to put a little iodine in here.
I mean, it could be.
No, I'm trying to... arginine. I'm just thinking of the only elements that I can think of now, even though I only know like seven.
Iodine sounds like a thing, but I don't think it's right.
Quaalude? Oh, no, not quaalude.
Quaalude. You think,
definitely don't want a quaalude in your tonic.
No.
I think it's with a Q, right? Queen.
I have no idea.
Queen.
Quark.
I think you're dancing around it, and but I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I can't think of a Q element other than quark is not one. That's just like a small atom, right? I don't know.
Yeah. What does
everything he's saying is just a little bit wrong.
Yep. Doesn't syphilis cure malaria?
I mean, you just get one extra disease and it just kind of cancels it out. Yeah.
When your brain's completely gone and you die from it, then you're cured of all diseases.
No, so like
rabies. Three Stooges syndrome.
What about like, is arginine? Is that even an element?
Yeah, let's. Arginine.
Arginine?
After our favorite movie, Argo. I don't know. We don't know anything. What's the answer, guys who know things?
It's really, really painful because if you just put it all together, you might have gotten there because it does sound like iodine. It starts with a Q. It's quinine.
Mm. Or quinine, more quinine, specifically, yeah. Which sounds like iodine and starts with a Q. Yeah, you were all around it. You were rhyming. You were alliterating.
I think we knew what it was. We just didn't know what it was.
Yeah, Matt and I have had plenty of experience with black lights. We just couldn't pull the answer, though.
Yeah. We thought this was Room Raiders.
We watched a lot of CSI Miami with Horatio Caine talking about black lights and projectiles. Okay, so at the end of round two, going into the final, it looks like Patrick Swayze's Dusky Eyes have kind of taken a lead here and are pulling ahead with 220 points, and Shadow Wolves only have 190. So what are those final five categories, Amber?
So your final five categories are based on my having made one stop in my 1,100 miles down here, and that was at Graceland, which is really just like a house, but also with a jungle room. So your themes are Burnin' Love, Blue Hawaii, Jailhouse Rock, Don't Be Cruel, and All Shook Up.
How do those fit together?
All right, let's break protocol for a second here. Mm-hmm. I want to issue a challenge to these guys.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
We're just going to put all of our chips in, all right?
Yeah.
30 per question.
We were doing that.
And I want to know if you're going to do the same thing.
We were doing it. I texted Neil the moment she said Graceland as a big Elvis aficionado.
All right. Said, so we have an accord then, Matt. Mm-hmm. We have an accord. I demand satisfaction.
Okay.
All the wagers are now locked in.
Not throwing away my shot.
All right. I don't know how much Elvis is going to help you, but I believe in him and his
blue suede
everlasting suede shoes. Exactly. And a lot of, what do you call that? Bedazzling?
Mm-hmm. Yes, a little bit.
And polyester. All right, here is Burnin' Love. The question is, giving a whole new meaning to happy hour, female condoms can be inserted how long before sex? Question two, Blue Hawaii. Thanks to the Kilauea volcano, the big island of Hawaii grows about 42 acres each year. Since football fields are only good for measuring things these days, within five, about how many football fields is 42 acres? Jailhouse Rock, Speaking of sports on lockdown, Zion Williamson may feel like a prisoner of Alcatraz, but since its closure, The Rock has been largely re-inhabited by the cousins of its namesake, La Isla de la Alcatraces, meaning Island of the Whats. Don't be cruel. The Eighth Amendment covers physical torture as cruel and unusual punishment, and also prohibits imposing what in excess. And the final question, all shook up. The controversy rages on to this day regarding whether or not the shake weight truly works. It all began at the release of the product in July of what year?
Okay, we're going to take a look at these questions and be back with our answers.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The Nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the Nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All the answers are now locked in. So let's have the questions one more time and we'll see how we did.
All right. So Burn in Love, the very controversial. you did have a hint in the beginning with giving a whole new meaning to happy hour. Female condoms can be inserted how long before sex?
We completely ignored that clue.
We did.
Happy hour.
Matt and I were discussing, for some reason, from at least my limited knowledge about it, I know it can be quite a long time, I think, before sex you can have it inserted because men are different. You need things to happen in order to use a contraceptive, but women, you don't have to have that happen. So I believe
men use contraception like this.
So Matt and I think it's like between 6 and 8 hours. I think it's a pretty long time. I could be way off, but Matt and I didn't know what number that was. So we split the difference and said 7 hours.
All right. Yeah. We had some perception of like kind of the advantages of using a female condom, but we had no personal experience. So we said 8 hours.
And you got it right with the 8-hour workday.
Oh, so we got it, Jeff.
That's bad for us.
I knew it was six to eight. I knew it was long. I couldn't get that clue in there and figure it out.
For Blue Hawaii, thanks to the Kilauea volcano, the Big Island of Hawaii grows about 42 acres each year. Since football fields are only good for measuring things these days, within 5, you guessed about how many football fields is 42 acres.
Matt, you did the math here. I'll let you take it.
Yeah, now I think I did it wrong. So I think an acre is about a little less than 100 yards, which would mean that maybe I did do it right. I think that it worked out to about 30-something football fields, and we locked in with 32 to get us the 27-37.
Okay. Yeah. I just did a rough calculation based on how big I thought my yard was in acres and then how much of a football field I thought that would take up. We came to 28. So.
Well, within 5, you both got it, but one of you on the dot, it is in fact 32.
Wow.
32.
Good job, fellas.
A football field is about 1.32 acres. So Jailhouse Rock, speaking of sports on lockdown, Zion Williamson may feel like a prisoner of Alcatraz. But since its closure, the Rock has been largely inhabited by the cousins of its namesake, La Isla de la Alcatraces, which means Island of the... You filled in the blank with.
Matt and I at first didn't get this one, or didn't get the clue at least, and then we heard the question again, and I think something popped up. So a great Don Siegel movie with Clint Eastwood is Escape from Alcatraz, but in this case, I believe it would be Escape from the Island of the Pelicans. So that was what we went with.
Yes, we had a buzzer beater answer here in a way, because me and Jeff kind of agreed that we thought it was a bird of some sort. This last time we heard the question, we heard that hint in there, and I was like, that might be a basketball player. So we said Pelicans.
Oh my God.
Pelicans it is at the last minute.
You didn't think it was the Hawks? What a shame.
No, us. I didn't. Is Zion
Steph from midcourt with the three?
That's Zion, that player that was really popular in college a few years back and just got drafted.
Yeah, he was on Duke.
It's the one Matt wanted on the Bulls really badly.
Gotcha. Yeah, he blew out his shoe.
Came
right out of his shoe. Yeah.
That was quite the shot at the buzzer there, my friend. But I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. The correct answer is indeed Pelicans. So we have Don't Be Cruel. The Eighth Amendment covers physical torture as cruel and unusual punishment, and also prohibits imposing what in excess, Mr. Paralegal? Over to you.
Yep, this would be the reason why you can't fine somebody $10 million for jaywalking or whatever. It's excessive fines.
Yeah, but for a while you could put people in effectively debtors' prisons. So, but yeah, we said excessive fines.
That is correct. It is fines, indeed.
Also, jaywalking is a BS crime. We all know it.
Way to take a stand.
And the final question that we all need to know was all shook up. The controversy rages on to this day regarding whether or not the shake weight truly works. It all began at the release of the product in July of what year?
Matt and I worked at an unnamed coffee shop.
conglomerate.
And during the time that I worked with Matt and he trained me, and we opened a store together, I kind of remember us, shaking it like a shake weight. And we
The whipped creams.
The whipped creams, right. Yeah, you do the whipped cream and you stand there and shake them. No, so
one whipped cream, one whippet. That's how you did it.
And yes, we talked and we're like, when would that have been? When did we work together? When could it have been? And we kind of settled on 2009. So that's our guess.
Yeah, we approached this question the same exact way. The question was, when were we laughing and making jokes about the shake weight and who was around us at the time? So Neil can tell you that the shake weight works because his right arm is much bigger than his left. But we guessed 2007.
Well, that's because Neil only bought a right-handed shake weight.
It is, in fact... 2009.
All right.
Way to go, coffee conglomerate.
I actually also remember last year was the 10-year anniversary, and there was kind of it was like trending on Twitter for a while because people love that, and it's also crazy that that's 10 years old
and still going strong, but stronger on the right hand, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
So it all came down to female condoms. And with 280 points is Neil and Matt. Good job. But we're going to be the cream of the crop today with 310.
The cream of the crop!
Great job.
Thank you. That was a fun game. I love a high-scoring game, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Triviality Prom. Everyone has to go home happy, have a good time.
Yeah. And we lost because of condoms. So it's just like prom.
Not my prom.
Thanks for letting me play, you guys. It's been great.
Of course.
I had a lot of fun today, you guys. And I think we learned something, too. And that's important.
Yeah. It was a good game.
We did. Right out of the gate.
I'm dying. I've been laughing this whole time. It's been great.
Right out of the gate, Amber, pops on Skype. She has old photos of her in, like, the darkness and a wolf painting behind her. And we knew it was going to be a great roller coaster ride right from there.
Set the tone.
Yeah.
Nothing but class.
That's right. Where can people find your company, which is exciting, which you talked about in the beginning of the episode, and anyone else you'd like to give shout outs to?
You can find my company at thenotrivia.com, which is also on Facebook, facebook.com/thenotrivia. So pretty easy to find, and my little face will pop up in the little chat bot if ever you want to talk to me there, or just send me an email at amber@thenotrivia.com.
Wonderful.
Thanks for letting me shamefully plug that new business, but I really do truly hope that it helps venues be able to afford to bring trivia back, and for trivia hosts to be able to make a good wage to do it, to get themselves back to work when they're ready. As they're ready.
Yeah, it's a very noble cause. I think we echo your statement, and hopefully everyone will check it out. We have a lot of trivia hosts, as we said, and pub owners, I suppose, too. So you should all check out the website. Thank you for joining us. Before we go, just a quick shout out to all our Patreon supporters. We've been overwhelmed by the response recently, especially during this time of COVID, of all of your support, and we appreciate it. If you want to join fellow Patreon supporters or become one, you can go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcast and get access to a bunch of different things, stickers, boxes, posters, but most of all, tons of extra content, especially late night content where we're a little off the rails, kind of like we were today. But feel free to come and listen to those episodes.
Bonus episodes, new ones coming up. We're working on something.
Yes, a little teaser there. That's just Matt's little tease. patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. So Ken and Jeff, any last words as the winners of today?
Just thank you for all the love in times of COVID.
Thank you. And Jeff, good luck with getting your Morbius strip at the salon, as long as you wear a mask.
Did you say Morbius?
Is that what it is?
I heard Morbius.
Is it Morbius?
And Spider-Man comes in.
Oh, Mobius. My bad. It's Mobius. So it's a DJ who's dressed as Morpheus.
Isn't Mobius the guy from The Matrix?
I was going to say, if I can't get a haircut anytime soon, I'm going to go for the Morpheus strip. So,
well, thank you, everyone. We hope you enjoyed today's show. On behalf of Amber, Ken, Jeff, and Matt, my name is Neil, and that was Triviality.
Guys and dolls.
Yeah.
Crazy guys and dolls.
Have any of you guys ever seen the movie or no?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, then I was going to do a Marlon Brando impression, but no one would get it. So just go on deaf ears. So.
I've seen the movie, but I still don't want to hear it.
Okay, that's fine.